We're continuing our series on the Gospel of John, and I have entitled today's sermon, A Window into the Heart of God. We will be studying John chapter 16, verse 23 through 27. Many years ago, there was a young man who was to be sentenced to the penitentiary. The judge had known him from childhood, for he was well acquainted with his father, a famous legal scholar and the author of an exhaustive study entitled The Law of Trusts. "Do you remember your father?" asked the judge. "I remember him well, Your Honor," came the reply. Then, trying to probe the offender's conscience, the judge said, "As you are about to be sentenced, and as you think about your wonderful dad, what do you remember most clearly about him?" There was a pause. Then the judge received an answer he had not expected. The young man said, "I remember when I went to him for advice. He looked up at me from the book he was writing and said, 'Run along, boy, I'm busy.' When I went to him for companionship, he turned me away, saying, 'Run along, son, this book must be finished.' Your Honor, you remember him as a great lawyer. I remember him as a lost friend." As we reflect on this heart-rending story, it's clear that the young man's memories reveal a deep sense of abandonment and longing for connection with his father. This true story serves as a powerful reminder that while some figures in our lives may prioritize their work or status over personal relationships, God is not like that. In contrast, our Heavenly Father is intimately present, always available, and deeply invested in our lives. He does not turn us away or dismiss us in our moments of need. Instead, He invites us into a loving relationship. Our Heavenly Father is always ready to listen and always ready to guide us. And so today, as we explore the nature of God's fatherly love, I want us to ask this question: what makes this possible? How can the Creator of the universe, this glorious, holy, majestic, magnificent God, love us this way? Let us turn to the Scriptures to deepen our understanding of this incredible truth about our loving Father and see the reason why He is able to love us this way. Out of reverence for God's Word, let us all stand. And let me read to you our text, beginning in verse 23. "In that day you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, He will give it to you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. I have said these things to you in figures of speech. The hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures of speech, but will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day you will ask in my name. And I do not say to you that I will ask the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God." Let's pray together. Our loving Heavenly Father, we ask that you show us your heart through the words of your Son and through the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, for the glory of your name and for the good of our church. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. On this final night before the arrest of Jesus, we see the Lord preparing his disciples for his departure. And in this discourse, Jesus wants them to have peace and hope amid troubled times. And so how is Jesus able to do that? How is he able to give them peace and hope amid troubled times? Well, in our series on the Gospel of John, we saw that Jesus told his disciples that he will not leave them as orphans. Because as he ascends into heaven, he will send the Holy Spirit to be their comforter, to be their guide. And last Sunday, as we heard Pastor Nigel preach, we saw that their sorrow will turn into joy the moment they see the risen Lord. And here we have the final words of Jesus before his arrest. And he wants his disciples to experience peace, to have hope. And one of the ways they can experience that as a reality in their lives is when they understand the heart of the Father, the love of the Father for them. As we study our text today, I want us to see that these are some of his final words before the cross. And in these verses, he opens up something very beautiful. A new way to relate to God the Father. In verse 23, Jesus says, "In that day, you will ask nothing of me." If you remember the previous verses that we studied last Sunday, we know Jesus is referring to his resurrection here, after his completed work of salvation. And we know that this joy at seeing Jesus after his resurrection will not only result in a renewed relationship with him, but it will have this notable effect on the lives of the disciples. They will experience the joy of understanding. Everything that Jesus taught them, everything that Jesus said, not just on this night, but over the 3 years that Jesus discipled them, will now finally make sense. And so the confusion described in John chapter 16, verse 16 to 18, will no longer be theirs. At last, they will understand. Hence, the momentous event of the resurrection will at once dispel their apprehensions. And from that point on, his followers, his disciples, will have a new relationship with the Father. "Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you." The Lord Jesus here is introducing a new privilege with his upcoming ascension to the Father, allowing believers to approach God directly for the first time. And the Lord here provided one condition for their prayers to be answered by the Father. Did you catch that? What's that phrase? We usually end our prayers with this phrase, right? "Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you." Now, for us who end our prayers this way, we can easily take this truth for granted, right? And miss the significance of it. But you need to understand, when the disciples heard these words from Jesus, this was absolutely revolutionary. This was radical. We know the disciples were used to going to Jesus with their needs, with their questions, but now Jesus invites them to go straight, to go directly to Yahweh, to the Father, in his name. And I want us to see that praying in Jesus' name means we come to the Father not based on our own merit or our own righteousness, but based on who Jesus is and what he has done. It means we are standing in the favor that Jesus has with the Father. So the phrase, in Jesus' name, isn't just a tag we add at the end of our prayers. It means we are praying based on Jesus' authority, his righteousness, and his finished work. Hence, because of Jesus, we now have direct access to the Father. And this is a privilege for every believer. This is not just for the apostles. This is not just for pastors and missionaries or for the mature Christians who have been Christians for many years. In fact, if you just got saved yesterday, this privilege is yours. You have direct access to the Father in Jesus' name. Again, the disciples before this, they had never prayed like this. In fact, Jesus says in verse 24, until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Now, certainly the disciples had asked certain things. They asked questions. But up to this point, they have not asked the Father in Jesus' name. Now, in anticipation of that new order, the disciples are exhorted, ask in his name. And here's a promise. As they ask in his name, Jesus says, You might receive? No. You will receive. In other words, the door is now open. We are welcome to come directly to the Father. Not timidly, but boldly. That is why Hebrews 4:16 encourages us. Let us then with confidence, with boldness, draw near to the throne of grace. Beloved, we have direct access to God the Father. That should encourage us. And notice what Jesus says, ask and you will receive, and here's the result, that your joy may be full. I want you to see that this promise is directly tied to the completion of their joy. Last Sunday, Pastor Nigel said that the joy mentioned here is deeper than just momentary happiness. It's a profound sense of fulfillment and peace that comes from being in a right relationship with God. And here, Jesus connects answered prayer with complete joy, with full joy. And this shows us that God is not reluctant. Amen? He's a good Father who delights in answering the prayers of his children. You know, when God answers your prayer, obviously we experience joy. Now, why do we experience joy? We experience joy because we have this assurance that God is mindful of us, that God hears every prayer, that God knows what we are going through. And when he answers our prayers, I want you to know that when we experience joy, God is also delighting in that. He is a good Father. He is a generous and faithful Father. And so here in John 16:24, we find both a promise and an encouragement. It reassures us that we can actively seek God and that our requests made in faith and alignment with the character of Jesus will be answered. And so through this relationship, they will experience a fullness of joy that is rooted in trust and connection with God. And so let me ask you, now that you know this truth, now that you are reminded of this truth, that you have direct access to the Father, are you taking advantage of this privilege? Yes, it's great to know about this. We say our amens to this. But is it changing your life? Is it changing the way you go to God in prayer? Is it shaping the way we pray? The way we commune with God? Jesus says, ask. Let that challenge your prayer life. Not just in how often you pray, but in how boldly you pray. Let me also ask, what are you holding back from bringing to God? Is there a need in your life? Is there pain? Is there suffering? Is there sorrow? Have you brought that need to the Lord? Jesus says, ask. You are welcomed. You are heard. And you are loved by your Heavenly Father. How often do you hesitate to pray, thinking you're unworthy or that God is too distant? What does Jesus say? Ask. You are welcome. You are heard. And you are loved by God. In verse 25, it says, I have said these things to you in figures of speech. The hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures of speech, but will tell you plainly about the Father. Now, the phrase, these things here, refers to everything Jesus taught the disciples, not just on this particular night, but all the lessons he shared over the 3 years of his ministry. And here, the Lord acknowledges the disciples' confusion over his teachings and promises. Much of what Jesus taught had been in figures of speech. So what is a figure of speech? Remember your English lessons when you were in high school? The term figures of speech describes language that isn't immediately clear but requires deeper reflection and thought to understand. There were times when Jesus' words and actions puzzled the disciples. But after the death and the resurrection of our Lord, they finally understood. Things were made plain and clear to them. For instance, when Jesus washed their feet and Peter objected, he explained in John 13:7, "What I do, you do not realize now, but you will understand later." At that moment, the disciples did not grasp the deeper lesson, the spiritual significance of Jesus' words and actions. But one day, they fully understood. Again, when will this happen? The hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures of speech, but will tell you plainly about the Father. This hour that Jesus referred to here was after his resurrection, and especially with the coming of the Holy Spirit. When that hour comes, the truth about God's plan and God's heart would be made plain. Now, it's interesting to note that none of the gospel writers indicate that Jesus' disciples understood the meaning of the cross until after the resurrection. You find that in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Despite their current uncertainty and confusion, Jesus was offering them hope for spiritual growth and maturity. It is in this powerful moment of God's revelation through the shame and triumph of death and resurrection that we see the clearest picture of God's character and God's plan of redemption for mankind. Hence, because of Jesus, we not only have direct access to the Father, but we also have a clearer understanding of the Father. Notice what Jesus says at the end of verse 25. But will tell you plainly about the Father. In Christ, God the Father is fully revealed. Jesus Christ embodies the fullness of God and represents his wisdom and truth. Every word and action of Jesus here in the Gospel of John was meant to show the heart and the character of the Father. And so after the cross, after the resurrection, after the ascension and the coming of the Holy Spirit, everything we need to know about the Father has been unveiled. Moreover, the Holy Spirit inspired the writing of the New Testament, removing all veils and clarifying truths concerning the Father. This inspiration gives us the book of Acts through Revelation, which explains and expands on everything that Jesus said and taught his disciples. John MacArthur made a very important observation. He said, "No biblical author, one in the rest of the New Testament after the Gospels, ever gives a parable in the entire New Testament. They're all direct, straightforward, simple propositional statements of truth. The veil is off. Everything is unveiled. Now we have all these 27 books of the New Testament that takes out all the mystery and obliterate all the darkness and truly show us the heart of the Father." Now, for us who have both the Old and New Testament, it's easy to take this truth for granted. Now, we have many Bibles, different versions. You have it in your phones. However, you need to understand this. For the disciples, gaining a clearer understanding of the Father was genuinely revolutionary. Let's not miss this. Let's not miss the significance of this moment in the lives of the disciples. You see, in the Old Testament, the Father's character was often shrouded in mystery, but Jesus came to reveal the Father fully and our relationship with Him. For example, during the Garden of Gethsemane, before Jesus was arrested, He prays to the Father. And how does He address the Father? How does He start His prayer? Jesus says, "Abba, Abba, Father, everything is possible for You. Take this cup from Me, yet not what I will, but what You will." The term Abba, which is an Aramaic word for Father, conveys a sense of intimacy and closeness. And this illustrates the personal relationship Jesus had with the Father. Now, it is important to note that the use of Abba highlights Jesus' unique relationship with the Father. And this concept, you need to understand, was completely foreign to Judaism, to the Judaism of that time. Well, people might have referred to Him as the Father of all creation, or the Father of the nation of Israel. There was no sense of intimacy. The idea of addressing God as Abba, or in our case, Papa, or Daddy. Addressing God that way during their time, in the Old Testament, and at this time, when the disciples were being discipled by our Lord Jesus Christ, this was unheard of for them. The Jews did not commonly call God Abba due to their traditional understanding of God's holiness, transcendence, and the serious nature of their relationship with Him. However, because of what Jesus has done and with what Jesus has revealed to His disciples and to us, we who are in Christ can now call Yahweh, God the Father, our Abba. Amen? You have that intimate connection, that intimate relationship with the Father. And our text reveals something amazing about our relationship with God the Father, something that Jesus Himself made possible. And so the veil is lifted. Jesus came not only to save us, but to also reveal the heart of the Father to us. And through Jesus, we can know Him personally and address Him as our Abba directly. In verse 26, He says, "In that day you will ask in My name, and I do not say to you that I will ask the Father on your behalf. Now, Jesus is not saying that he won't pray for us. He still does. Go check Romans 8:34. He's saying we don't need a go-between here. You don't need a middleman to get to the Father. You can go directly to the Father in his name. You don't need to go through saints or priests. And what I'm about to share now is something very sensitive, especially in our culture, in our context, but it has to be shared. We live in a nation that is predominantly Roman Catholic. We need to speak the truth in love to our Roman Catholic friends in order for them to really know this amazing truth that we have direct access to the Father. You see, Roman Catholics, for them, their main mediator, right, their go-between is who? Is Mary. Mary. There's this Roman Catholic systematic theologian who speaks for the Catholic Church, is highly influential, a respected Roman Catholic scholar. And here's what Ludwig Ott said. Mary's intercessory cooperation extends to all graces, so that no grace accrues to mankind without the intercession of Mary. The redemptive grace of Christ is conferred on nobody without the actual intercessory cooperation of Mary. Do you know what Ludwig Ott is teaching here? You get nothing from God. Mary gets it for you. This doctrine has no biblical basis. And it contradicts what Jesus just said here in verse 26. Beloved, you now have complete, direct access to the Father. Your prayers will be heard by the Father. Amen? If you pray in Jesus' name, you will not be abandoned in a desert of unanswered prayers. You would always remain connected to God the Father. So how could this privilege be granted to us? Why would we remain connected to the Father forever? Well, verse 27 answers that for us. For the Father himself loves you. Here's my last point. Because of Jesus, we are personally loved by the Father. The Greek word for loves here means to show warm affection in intimate friendship. And what does this teach us? God the Father not only loves you, but he also likes you. He wants to have this friendship with you. He's fond of you because you are in Christ. He wants to spend time with you. And so this should really inspire us to cultivate our friendship, our relationship with God the Father. Think about how this truth was especially encouraging and comforting to the disciples. Did they remain faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ the moment he was arrested, tried, and crucified? They abandoned the Lord. Peter, who boldly said, "Lord, I will never deny you." When a servant girl asked Peter, "Are you one of his disciples?" "I think you are." Peter denied the Lord three times. And we know the rest of the disciples abandoned the Lord. When Jesus was in that grave, they were hiding in fear. Did God the Father, did Jesus Christ know that they would fail him? Yes. Did God the Father know that we would still fail him as Christians? Did God the Father know the sins that we would commit against him as believers? Yes. But despite that knowledge, God, in His grace and mercy, did not change His mind in choosing you. You are eternally loved by God. And of course, that understanding, that truth about God's eternal love should not cause us to abuse His love by sinning as we please. But that should motivate us to pursue holiness and righteousness. Amen? For the Father Himself loves you. I know sometimes when we talk about God's love, we can talk about it in general terms, right? God loves us. God loves the world. Yes, that is true. But I want you to make this truth really personal to you. God not only knows you by name, God not only knows everything about you, but He loves you eternally. Are you convinced of that? Or you're still not sure if God truly loves you? If you are in Christ, this means God the Father affectionately loves you always. What a beautiful truth. The Father Himself loves you. Let that sink in. You are not just loved by Jesus. You are also loved by the Father. You know, as an earthly father, I love my kids to death. I just love them so much. But I also understand, as an earthly father, my love for them is so imperfect. I fail them. And if a sinful earthly father like me can have this love for my children, how much more our Heavenly Father who loves us perfectly in every season that we go through in life, in good or bad spiritual days, the love of the Father for you is steadfast and constant. It doesn't change. So you are not barely tolerated by God. You are not an annoyance in His inbox. You are loved by Him. And what's the reason why God the Father loves you this way? Jesus gives an answer in verse 27, and this is beautiful. For the Father Himself loves you because you have loved Me and have believed that I came from God. This is what causes the Father to love us this way. Not through our performance, not through some ritual, but simply through our faith in Jesus. And love for Jesus, faith in Jesus, these two things go together. If you have trusted in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you love Him with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Amen. Believing in and loving Jesus opens the door to a relationship with the Father. And so it's not about being perfect, right? We can never attain perfection in this life, but thankfully, through the righteousness of Jesus, we who are sinners have been made perfect. So God answers their prayers out of His love for them. Love and faith connects believers with God and Jesus. So this is the good news of the gospel. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to earn salvation through your good deeds. You just have to believe in Jesus. You can come with confidence because the Father Himself loves you. These are incredible truths that should change and shape our lives. So let me ask you, when you pray, ask yourself this question. When you pray, do you pray like someone who is loved? Or do you approach God like you're on probation, just hoping He'll listen? I hope that's not the case. I hope if you're in Christ, you are so convinced that you are loved by the Father, that you can go to Him, you can come to Him in prayer anytime, and you have this assurance that He will hear you. And He will answer your prayer in His perfect time. So stop praying like beggars. Pray like children of the King. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. That is a promise for every child of God. Amen? So whatever burdens you carry today, whatever prayers are in your heart, bring them to the Father. He's listening. He cares. You have direct access to Him. He loves you. Paul says in Romans 8:15, you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry. There's that word. Abba. Abba, Father. And so this passage is an invitation to live with boldness and confidence in our relationship with God the Father. Jesus Christ has done the unthinkable. He has given us His name to pray in. Jesus has removed all the barriers, and He has introduced us to our loving Heavenly Father. Hence, this passage, John 16, 23 to 27, is more than a lesson on prayer. It's a window into the heart of God. These words from Jesus give us a glimpse of the heart of God, the love of God for you and for me. It reveals a profound truth about our relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ. And what a comforting truth this is. Jesus assures us that our prayers will be heard by the Father, not based on our worthiness, but because of His incredible love for us and His finished work on the cross. There was a little boy one day. This little boy was eagerly looking forward to the birthday party of a friend who lived only a few blocks away. When the day finally arrived, a blizzard made the sidewalks and roads nearly impassable. So the boy's father, sensing the danger, hesitated to let his son go. His son reacted tearfully, "But Dad, you promised. All my friends are going to be there. Their parents are letting them go." The father thought for a moment, then replied softly, "All right, you may go." Surprised but overjoyed, the boy bundled up and plunged into the raging storm. The driving snow made visibility almost impossible. And it took him more than half an hour to trudge the short distance to the party. As he rang the doorbell, he turned briefly to look out into the storm. His eye caught the shadow of a retreating figure. It was his father. He had followed his son's every step to make sure he arrived safely. Beloved, our Heavenly Father is omnipresent. He is present everywhere. You don't need to pin your location for God the Father to know where you are. And our Father, unlike this earthly Father, is absolutely certain that we would make it to our final destination. We would make it home safely in heaven. Why? Because His Son did everything to save us. And so if ever you doubt and question the love of the Father, look to Jesus. Think about what he has done. Because the words, actions, life, death, and resurrection of Jesus give us assurance that we have direct access to his heavenly Father. Amen? And so as we journey through life, God the Father is always there to guide us and sustain us. He loves us eternally. And we have come to know these great truths about him because of Jesus. Jesus gives us access to the Father. Jesus gives us clarity about the Father. Jesus gives us confidence in the love of the Father. And so as we have known these truths, how do we respond to this? Here's how we should respond. So pray boldly. Pray in faith. Pray with joy. The Father hears you. The Father loves you. And the Father answers when we pray in Jesus' name. Let's pray.